Hey, good evening, Sales Team Pro. My name is Kristen, and I want to welcome you out to our STP Sunday Fundamentals Training. If you tuned in to our monthly kickoff yesterday, you got to immerse yourself in 4 hours of securities knowledge. And tonight, our great leaders are focusing on recruiting. If you missed the kickoff yesterday, don't worry. We're going to have the replay available to you in the Sales Team Pro Training Center by tomorrow. Make sure you continue to share your links to the Introduction to Money client webinar and the Join Our Team virtual op meeting. Those happen every single Monday and Thursday evening, as well as the real estate webinar, which happens every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Also, we are gearing up for the big Sales Team Pro Nashville Conference. If you are not registered yet, make sure that you do that as soon as possible because spots are filling up very fast. We have a great panel lined up for you tonight, ready to teach you what to focus on when you're recruiting. And we have built-in time for Q&A, so make sure you type your questions in as the night goes on. Your host was the number one personal recruiter in Texas for 5 years straight. And in 2010, he was the number one personal recruiter in all of Primerica. Last month, he had 11 personal recruits and is already up to 9 for this month. Give it up for your host, the amazing Norm Mitchell.
Hey, thanks, Kristen. Man, I am super excited about tonight's topic because it is the only thing I am good at in the whole company. And so this is right up my alley, folks. And I got to tell you, I'm excited about it because it is the absolute, by far, not even close, most important thing that we do in the whole company is give other people a chance to have a better future, a better lifestyle. I mean, I vividly remember sitting down with the guy who brought me in the business, you know, and he could have fixed my insurance. He could have fixed my investments and all that would have been great. But man, by recruiting me into the business, he changed my life, changed it forever. And not just my life, but my kids' life, my grandkids' life, and the lives of the people that I come in contact with from my team to the clients. None of that would have happened, folks, if I had not gotten recruited. So always be thankful to the person that brought you in the business that gave you a chance to do something seriously special. So it's one of my favorite topics, if not my favorite topic completely. I'm excited to hear from our folks that we have for you tonight. JC Ruddy is going to kick it off, and then we're going to have Diana Carey share some stuff with us as well. Then I'm going to close it out with a real live interview. One of these three is going to volunteer. They don't know it yet. But we're going to go through a real live how to do an interview with somebody, and that's going to be fun. So like Kristen said, make sure you type in the questions. Hey, we're going to get started. I'm going to bring up JC. JC's a couple $100,000 earner. He's been an RVP for 17 years, lives in the humongous megaplex of Altoona, Iowa, married, got some daughters in college, and this guy was an athlete before becoming a Primerica Regional Vice President. So what does that mean? I see the football trophies behind him. That means this guy's competitive, folks. You got to have some competitive juices in you to win in anything. Take it away, JC.
Hey, thanks, Norm. Hey, guys, I'm super excited to be here tonight and talk to you guys about recruiting. Just really blessed to be asked to do this, you know, and just like Norm said, he kind of ran it together. I have 4 girls that are 12 years old down to 2 years old, right? In college, I played college football. I was recruited out of Drake University to do an internship with Primerica, and I immediately fell in love with what Primerica did to help people. And I think Norm said it best when he said, you know, we give other people the opportunity that was given to us. Primerica found me. I didn't find Primerica, and praise the Lord that that happened. You know, and so I'm hopefully going to give you some knowledge tonight. I think we're saving the best for last, for what it sounds like, with Norm coming up to close us out. And I'm not going to volunteer myself, but if you need me, Norm, I would definitely be your interviewee or whatever you need. So I'm going to share my screen here. I'm going to go through a quick PowerPoint presentation of a few key things. I'll share with you a little bit what we do with the Fast Start that helps us grow our business through taprooting and getting our recruits off to the Fast Start. You know, I would say this, I'll preface with this. Is that the greatest product that Primerica ever sold me was this opportunity. And I think that's something that we can't forget as agents. If you're a securities producer, if you're a builder, you can't forget that. And I'll go into this because Roy said something just recently when he came to, I'll pull this up here. He was at an event. I think Roy's story is very encouraging, because Roy was there for a while making about $50,000 a year. And then he had some success or whatever. But somebody said to him, let me go back, because I forgot. I had a slide here first. Because if you're watching this, a lot of people, at least my understanding is, a lot of people are securities producers. And I believe that securities producers can be great recruiters. And I believe that recruiters can become great securities producers. So I'm in Altoona, Iowa, which is a suburb of Des Moines, Iowa. I'm in the great Tom Rice hierarchy. Tom is a great friend of mine. I just saw his wife today. My kids are all, my oldest is in basketball. His youngest is in basketball. He's got three girls. He's got five kids, but it's three girls. And I saw Kristen today. But Tom was has been one of the biggest recruiters in the Midwest for a lot of years. And Tom's an $800,000 earner, soon to be $1 million earner. And so a lot of people look at Tom as a builder, and he is. He's got 20 some plus RVPs, but Tom's also one of the top securities producers in all the company. And most people don't understand. They don't think like of Tom that way. He's one of the biggest securities producers, yet he has a 20, 30,000 base shop. He's had upwards of 100,000 base shop. And so Tom always says, look, you can do because we're a product of the Shane Rudman hierarchy as well, you can do the whole job for the consumer. And so I was taught that, look, you know, securities producers can recruit people, but recruiters can create securities producers. If you do the whole job for the consumer and use the financial needs analysis, you can do it all. It's a matter of just implementing systems and using Sales Team Pro to make your life easier as far as follow-ups. And I think you'll grab a lot more securities. But why should we all recruit? Going back to the Roy Matlock talk, he said this a few weeks ago. It was interesting. Kind of hit me on the head a little bit when he said, look, there was a question. I can't remember who was specifically. I think it was, I can't even speak. But he said they had a question. They said, Roy, why are you being so selfish? He said, what are you talking about? You know? And Roy must not have been really recruiting much, you know, because look, we have the greatest opportunity at our fingertips, and yet we don't share it. Why are we being so selfish? And I think that really hit home with me, because a lot of times we sidestep a recruit for a sale, and that's okay. I mean, I don't know if that's okay necessarily, but I understand why you might do it. But there's a lot of people out there that can bring a lot more people into your more clients and a lot more income to your business. So, so that's just really something I want to share with you guys. So why should we recruit? Well, there's three reasons that came to mind when I was putting this together. There's many reasons, but we need to remember that at one point we were offered this opportunity. There's a lot of people right now that are great people. People that we're not even thinking of that are working at a job that they hate, and they could be making $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year. You know, I think of Frank Dillon, for example. He was up there in New York. He was a doctor, whatever the heck, psychiatrist or whatever. And gosh, he left the $250,000 business to join Primerica, now $1 million earner plus, right? So we got to remember that. Number two, we have to understand that people need this opportunity more than ever. These are just a few things that we need to constantly be reminding ourselves when it comes to recruiting. And then three, we just need to find the right people. And I think a lot of times I've been talking to my team. We just promoted an RVP 3 months ago. Last year in COVID, we went all in on recruiting. At one point last year, I recruited 18 people personally in 1 week through my team. Not personally, but through them. In 1 week. And what COVID did and what Shane Rubin taught us is that for some of us that got kind of sucked back into the financial advisory role, is that COVID allowed us to recruit a large number of people. And through that, we were fortunate enough to find the right people to pop out an RVP. But it started with me personally recruiting. It wasn't the RVP that I had, fortunate, was somebody I recruited directly. Okay. And so a lot of us that are on this call, you have the tools, you have the credibility, you are the right person, obviously, if you're here, but there's a lot of people around you that maybe you're not recruiting. And I'm telling you, they're the people that you need to be recruiting. But this was shared with me too, is which one would you want to be, right? Number A or B? Well, option A is you can make 100% off of one person. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with building a great book of business, assets under management, hiring a staff and doing all that. Guys, there's people in the company that do this. It's amazing. You can do that. That might be an option for you. Or maybe your option is, I don't want to do all of that. I'd rather just go train 100 people and make 1% off 100 people. I think the beautiful thing about Primerica is you can do both. You know, and so I think it's just a matter of you being making that choice of what you want to do. But in some cases, this is what everybody's looking for. Okay. And so our ultimate goal still is to produce RVPs and develop new offices. And those offices are changing now. It used to be that everybody had to be a builder to produce an office. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people, from what I'm understanding from my training with Shane Rubin, who's got a lot of insight, that people, investment advisors, are going to come over looking to start their office. Right. And then Primerica is going to be the best way to place to do it. And so we always talk about creating an RVP factory, in a factory of raw materials that go in. You have a finished product. Then you have byproducts that come out. OK, but the finished product is the goal. Well, in Primerica, we recruit people and our goal is to develop them into RVPs, which RVP is, in my opinion, is a personal producer. Right. You have to be an independent personal producer and you develop others underneath you that can do the same thing. Right. And so the byproduct is the FNAs, is the life, is the securities and the VAs. And man, I've seen guys like Greg Vermeer. If you don't know Greg, Greg's a $600,000 earner in the company. One of my best friends, right? He's built a hierarchy, but now he's because of that, he's got over 100 million plus assets under management, you know, so you can build that securities business through recruiting. And so why recruit? Obviously the company gives us many reasons to recruit. I got to look at my time frame here. The ability to build a passive business. You know, people, my mother asked me all the time. She's like, so the girl's going to take over the family business? Lord willing. I mean, Primerica gave me an opportunity to build a company that I can pass on to my children. And not just an assets under management business, but a business that's working with people as well. You can build a legacy here. The recognition through recruiting, and then guys, endless appointments, right? In the beginning, if you're new here, the best way to get on good quality, warm market appointments is through recruiting. That's how we were taught. I think most of us started there and we learned this business and then we built an organization the way we wanted to build it. But you got to get the RVP first to really enjoy all the benefits that Primerica has to offer. And in our hierarchy, we it's basically there. You have to do it through recruiting and building to a certain point, right? And so what we do, guys, here's what we do, and I'll go through our fast start. But what we do is we're constantly, me personally, all my key leaders, as far as recruiting, is we're constantly cultivating and working through our 1,000 persons names list, our database. Sales Team Pro is a great benefit or a great tool to increase and grow that database of recruits as well as clients, right? And so we're constantly building those relationships. And that's why I'm so excited about what we're doing here at Sales Team Pro, is because it gives us a way to keep in touch with those people. Guys, if I would have had that 10, 15, 17 years ago, I can only imagine the amount of people I'd have on my list, but we're constantly cultivating those relationships, warm market relationships. Number two, we ask the recruiting question at the appointment. If I could, would you? If I could give you more of what you want with less of what you don't want in your current career, would you join me in business? It's really that simple. Hector Lamarck said it best. Most people don't recruit people because they simply don't ask the question. And so I think that's the same in sales, right? I think that if you ask them, hey, if I could give you more of this, if I could do you better here, that's a Sean Murphyism, as I call it. Sean Murphy's one of the greats in Primerica. Probably, I don't know if most people heard of him, but he's out of Kansas City, Missouri. He's one of the great friends of mine, taught me all of this. If I could, would you? If I could, would you? So ask the question. Number three, we use a lot of social media as a tool. I'm going to be 40 this year, so I'm probably going to be a little bit older than I can't be as irresponsible anymore. I'm going to be more mature at 40s or whatever. I'm not irresponsible, but we still use social. We use a ton of social media. I've been able to recruit a lot of young people and through that and just, I don't care if you're young or old, but I think social media is something that you should really embrace. And you learn how to use it properly, obviously within the company guidelines and stuff like that. And then we drive through the Omar Apesa Easy 3. Everybody has an Easy 3. And Omar said it best. Look, everybody has one or two people that they can recruit right off the bat. So if you go recruit in the right markets, married, kids, homeowner, employed, you can go recruit the right people that will continuously lead you into those right markets where you can find good clients, good recruits, and good securities trades as well. And number five, we train on the fundamentals and we build in relationships. And I know this is stuff that maybe some of you that are watching this for the first time or have watched this many times or heard all this stuff. It's the same stuff. It's just, I tell people, I said, look, are you learning this or are you mastering this stuff? All right. And fundamentals, you have to master. You have to master setting appointments. Guys, recruiting somebody is no different than closing an insurance sale or an investment sale or investment trade, right? It's just you know, closing them why they should join you in business, right? They say in securities, in the securities trade, people, they buy you. They don't buy Primerica. They buy you what you're doing. So are you selling yourself on the recruiting end just as much? It's really just a business philosophy there, right? And so I'm going to share a Word document with you guys and kind of show you what we do with our Fast Start Planner. And this is me, and I hope it's okay I can share this, but this is kind of what we've been doing. But, you know, I always appreciated those that were kind of full disclosure and what we do. And so obviously we run through this. Hopefully you see that, Norm. Can you see that okay? Hopefully. Right. So we have our accountability, this is kind of our schedule. We go through a Sunday night skills every Sunday at 8:30. It's actually 9 right now because of summer and the daylight's longer and stuff like that. But we have a 15-minute meeting where we just get people to start thinking about their business. We have an accountability call at 9:15. We actually have a daily boost that our hierarchy is doing every morning at 9:05 as well. We have our own team meeting on Thursday nights. We have Fridays and we have a training we do with Tom on Saturday mornings. We kind of just let people know where they can plug in. And then we get them plugged into three main places. Now, I'm a part of the One Team, One Dream, Shade Room, and Hierarchy. Hopefully your hierarchy is something that you can plug them in, but we created an app through that. But we for sure plug them into the Primerica app because that's how they can get their bonus. We use Telegram as our communication. So we get them to download those two very quickly. And then we use One Team, One Dream as an additional tool. So we talk about plugging in. And I will say this from a recruiting standpoint and building a business standpoint. What's that?
There's a couple of folks in the chat that say they can't see your screen. Can you stop sharing and then reshare again real quick?
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh darn it. I'm not sure why that's not working. Let's try it again. But Norm, you can see it, right?
Yeah, I can see it fine.
Says participants that can now see my application. So hopefully that's fixed it, right? So we download Primerica app, we download Telegram, we have our hierarchy app. I'm hopefully not sharing too many secrets here, but you know, we use the bonus as a way to get people to focus on recruiting because the main thing that keeps people around, whether you like it or not, is are they making money? Are they getting paid? You know, and that's why getting fully licensed is important as well. But, and I haven't necessarily, actually I have updated these numbers here, but you know, the one recruit, the 1,000, we use the company guidelines as far as the bonus. And we use that as a guideline to say, look, this is why we need to get you off to a fast start. So first things first, you personally, us on this call or on this meeting, we need to go out and recruit personal directs. That's what we have to do. Okay. Because you're the leader, you're the person that you want to go recruit. If you're not that person, you need to go become that person. You need to go hang around a Diana or a Norm or whoever in hierarchy that you say, I want to have the business they have, and you need to go hang around them. You need to take them to lunch constantly. You need to become that person. If you feel like you're already there, then why aren't you talking to more people like yourself? Get them recruited, then say, look, we need to go get this 3 recruits and this 3,000 done very quickly. So we talk about how to earn the bonus. And then we talk about how to recruit 3 people fast. So we use social media, okay? So we say, look, one, we do a Facebook post. Kristen said, share what you're doing. This is what we're doing. We drop it out there. We say, look, we just got started with the company. We're looking for people to work from home anywhere in the U.S. And by the way, we took this from another big leader in the company. This isn't something that I designed, right? We copied it. And we usually get 2 or 3 people from that because people are looking for opportunities that way. That's one way. The other way is I talked about the easy 3. You see B right here. We get people, our goal is to get them on 10 appointments fast. And we want to get their easy 3, their best 3 appointment people that they know. Typically, it's their mom, dad, cousins, best friends, sisters, brothers. And we set them up within the first week. Those ones are the ones that doesn't matter what you're doing. They're still going to listen. And that's where the gold is found, to be honest with you. Because they'll join you in business and those people have three and those people have three and those people have three. So without going into too much detail on that, we pop out a Facebook post just like this, if you can see it. I don't know how I can share it with anybody else if you can't. But we basically say, look, I just got started working with a company part-time. They're expanding right anywhere in the U.S., blah, 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 blah. And we get people say, I'm interested. And then we set up a Zoom call with them, or we use the LFIC video. I don't know if you're familiar with that. We use either or depending upon their schedule. And when we do that, the right person usually has 25 to 30 people that reach out to them. And then we go and we taproot. The goal is to get into warm markets and be doing appointments and using that easy three. And then obviously we get them licensed as quickly as possible. We talk a lot about getting that list in place. And we talk a lot about the easy three. And so that's, I don't have a lot of time, guys. I'll say this, what to say real quick, but what we say to our easy three is, hey, look, Diana, hope all is well with the kids and family. I was wondering if you could do me a favor. She's going to say, yes. Say, great. I just got started with a new company. I'm very excited about. I'm going through training. I need help with some practice presentations. It only takes 20 minutes over Zoom. What day would work better for you and your husband? She says, well, Tuesday or Wednesday. And we set the appointment. We also have a 20-minute video script here as well that we use from Dean Francis and so on and so forth, right? So for sake of time, I'm going to stop my share right there. That gives you a little bit. I'm on Facebook. If you really want to add me, I'm fine with that. I can answer questions. There's a lot of ways too. But guys, I'm telling you, we're growing our business through our AAUMs. We're working through Sales Team Pro. And we are still recruiting and we want to produce RVPs. That's our objective. And so, Norm, that's all I got, man. Take it away, man.
Hey, thanks, JC. That was some good stuff, guys. I hope y'all took some notes. I know I did. A couple of things that I got off of that was our greatest product was the opportunity. And like I said at the very beginning, I totally, completely agree with that. Every product and service that we do, guys, is super important. It's super valuable. But I'm in agreement that the career opportunity is our greatest product because it's the biggest life-changing product that we have. You know, there's been this phrase sweeping our company over the past several months called MPI, Massive Passive Income. And I don't know if y'all understand what that is. Mm-hmm. Passive income, by definition, is money that you get paid for not working. There needs to be a bumper sticker that says MPI, get paid for not working. I love that. And the best way to do that, folks, is to hire and train a massive amount of people. You know, you think about a Century 21 office or any other real estate agency in the world. You know, if I got three agents in my Century 21 office and JC's got 30 in his, who's going to sell more houses? The guy with 30 agents. Well, who's going to make more money? The broker with the 30 agents, okay? So there's two real ways, guys, to make massive passive income. You can have a lot of, and by the way, they're both called AUM, assets under management and agents under management. That's what you want, a lot of agents under management and a lot of assets under management, because they will both pay you MPI, massive passive income. And then another thing you said, JC, that I hope people really caught a hold of this, folks, and I alluded to it at the very beginning, is JC said, there's really no difference in closing a recruit than closing a life app. You're still closing, right? But here's the thing. If you close a life app, you get paid one time. You get one sale. If you close a recruit, you hire somebody, folks, you get paid multiple times because you're going to get paid on their life app, their assets under management, their identity, everything, right? And then all those appointments that you take that person on to get them trained are going to equal a lot more income for you. So don't just think about one sale, think about one recruit. That's way more important. Thanks a lot, JC. That was great stuff, man. Moving on. 40 years. Diane has been married. Man, I'm coming up on 21. I don't know who's got more patience, you or your husband. I don't know. I'm not even going to go down that road. But look, Diane has been in our company 18 years, 15 full-time, made over $65,000 in 1 month. Woo! Cash flow over $1 million. number one in cash flow, one time in the company in securities back in 18, used to be in telecommunications. There's a great background for financial services franchise owner, right? So, hey, help me bring to the stage, Diana Carey. Take it away, Diana.
Thank you, Norm. And man, JC, you nailed it. And one thing that you said that really stood out is when the person recruited you, they didn't recruit you to sell you life insurance. They didn't talk to you about life insurance. They didn't talk to you about securities. And the person that actually recruited me, Regional Vice President Jackie Childress Mitchell, she didn't talk to me about those things either. She talked to me about, come check out what I do. And when I checked out what she was doing, it was amazing to me. So I get to talk to you guys about recruiting. And I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about the mindset of a recruiter. And the mindset behind recruiting, because I think that if you're like me right now, you know, JC, I love what you're doing. I love, you know, how you guys are getting it done. I'm real excited about you sharing that more. And I can tell you, Norm, you just really pumped me up when you said what you're doing from a direct standpoint in your recruiting. I think you're tearing it up out there in TX. I spent 8 years in Killeen, so I know you're in a good market. And you know, the guys, the thing is that, but there's going to be times where you may be in the valley and you're going to have to go through reinventing. I can tell you, last month we were in the valley, right? And it feels like we've been in the valley a long, long time. You remember in the Bible, you're in the wilderness, but they all came out, right? So we know that we're all coming out because we know that even though the valley may happen, you're at a different level. So your mindset is differently, right? But the thing that I want to kind of share is when you look at a mindset and you look at this slide here, you know, do you see the glass half full or do you see the glass half empty? Because I think it really is important on how you look at things, because how you look at this, you'll look at it as in everything you do. So when it comes to recruiting, people tend to say, well, you know, I don't come from a background of being a recruiter. I'm a W-2 wage earner. I've never had to recruit, but now I've come into this opportunity and you guys are talking about recruit, recruit, recruit. And so it gets hit on foreign territory sometimes when you talk to people about that. But let me tell you something, you're either going to be recruited or you're going to be a recruiter. And the thing is that for me, it was different. I was a recruiter in my mindset when I came here because I was already building an empire. I was in a leadership position in telecommunications. I traveled all over the world. I opened up businesses for the telecommunications company. I built them up. I tore them down. I did all of that. So I already had the mentality of a builder. The difference is that I was praying for freedom. A lot of people say, kill the job. You weren't going to do that with me. I loved what I was doing in telecommunications for 22 years. But the one thing that triggered was praying for freedom. I prayed for freedom every day. And I don't know if anybody can catch that. You love what you do, but you pray for freedom, right? And so the thing is that no one in the state of Kansas ever tried to recruit me. Now I'm a ring wearer. I've got the first level of ownership. Who would not want a me as a first generation? That's how I look at it. It's not tooting my own horn, but I told my niece the other day, hey, when you're doing something great, toot, you're doing something really great, right? But no one tried because, you know, the people that knew me thought that because I'm doing so well in corporate America, I would never want to do anything else. I would never want to do this. So they did the thinking for me. But when you look at the glass half full, half empty, guys, let me tell you something. I drink probably about 7 or 8 of these a day, right? And when it's empty, guess what I do? I replenish it because I'm empowered to do that. You're empowered when you come in to be a master recruiter. You are empowered. You have to just have to understand it's the mindset. So, you know, my great upline, which is James Nye, he actually shared this with some of the RVPs, and we actually presented this in our Super Saturday yesterday. But, these fundamentals were so crucial for the mindset. When you look at a builder's mindset, see, you got to resist putting your own limitations on other people. That's what happened. No one tried to recruit me. I got recruited in Illinois on a business trip for corporate America. And here's the thing. I sat in a room and it was about 150 people in that room, guys. No joke. We were at one of the hotels there. I went into the room. There was about 150 people in the room. As the speakers went forth, people were nodding and people were agreeing. And I just said, what is this mess? And I just remember looking in the back of the room, Norm, and I said, note to self, don't drink water. Because I don't know what this is, but they ain't going to get me because I'm on top of the thing. It was when the last speaker came, because here's the truth of the truth. As much money as me and my husband was making, we weren't keeping any of it. And I mean, six figures were coming into our household. We weren't keeping any of it. And some of the reasons why, or many of the reasons why, were what they went over by educating on how the insurance worked. Yes, we had the wrong kind. How all those things, they were teaching. And when they got done teaching, they said, we're looking for just a few more teachers, a few more crusaders. Guys, where I said, don't drink the water, I was in the room at the edge of my seat. And when the meeting was over, they said, if you're interested, come to this table. When the young lady who introduced me to the opportunity, when Jackie came in the room, she couldn't find me. And they said, she's at the table. I filled out the IBA in Illinois that night, living in Kansas. I came back here with a goal and a dream. And I told my husband, I went out in the lobby and I said, oh, we got a business now. We got a business. He said, doing what? I have no idea, but we're going to be great. Because I felt so good on the inside. I felt like I was now empowered to make an impact and cure the ignorance, not only that I had, but cure the ignorance that other people had. But I'm going to need a few locked on arms to do it with me. So recruiting wasn't an odd thing for me. I didn't fight recruiting in the beginning. It sounded normal to me. It sounds normal to me today. Don't prejudge. When I came back to Kansas, I was in the business and it was a division leader. And I ended up getting a call from a coworker in telecommunications and said, I've got the best opportunity for you. You got to see this thing. I've been getting promoted. I'm a division leader. I want you to come to this meeting with me tonight. And I said, it wouldn't be a Primerica meeting, would it? He goes, you know about Primerica? I said, I'm a division leader myself, buddy. I'm going to be an RVP. I'm terminating corporate America soon. So see, you see how you can miss it when you think of your mindset and how you think of things, right? You have to understand it is a builder's mindset. Recruiting is not a mystery. It is simply a matter of, listen, you heard two powerful leaders come before you saying, that's what was given to me. This opportunity was given to me. I believe it was part of my prayer. Because God knew I can't get you another job because that's not what you prayed for. You prayed for freedom, but you prayed for freedom with purpose. So I'm going to give you both, even though he picked the industry that I didn't like at all. I was horrible in math. So I was like, oh God, you got a great sense of humor. Something ain't ready for that. He said, if you follow the people that I'm going to put in your path, you're going to see this thing ain't about no math. See, the thing is, we do financial services, but I don't recruit to that. I recruit to hope and opportunity. And I know you guys have heard that many times before. You have to understand that people will see right through you. When you go and you want to put on that investment hat, I'm an advisor and I'm this and I'm that, and I want to talk to you about money. Let me tell you, during the pandemic, people didn't want to talk to you about giving up any money. They wanted to talk to you about receiving money. And those that mastered that are the ones we've seen more million-dollar earners be actually created and go forth and do great things during the pandemic. I lost more clients than anything because of death. In my entire 18-year career, I delivered more death claims. But the thing is I got the death, I got the ability to get the life insurance because I talked to them about the opportunity, not about the life insurance. See, I aimed for the recruit. I missed the recruit, but I got the sale. When you try to do it backwards and try to do the sale first, they'll see you as a salesperson. You're going to struggle here. It is true. There are six-figure earners that are great salespeople here. They're doing it by themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. You heard JC say that. But I didn't leave a struggle in corporate America to come to a business and struggle. I wanted to follow the system as it was designed over 44 years ago. So guys, I recruit to relationships. I don't know about you, but I recruit to relationships. Let me give you an example. I've got DeMario and Charla Ford, who are division leaders on my team. They were recruited through one of my direct reps. And guys, here's the thing. When I recruit, I built a relationship that got me invited to their wedding, but not only invited to their wedding, not knowing them that long at all, not only invited to their wedding, I got set at a VIP table at their wedding with all their loved ones. I've got Cassandra Pearson Smith, who guys will go to the ends of the earth for me. She was recruited through one of my recruits, who, and she's now directing me because her recruiter quit. You see, but I sat in and I helped them get recruited. Like JC said, I recruited 18 in a week because I was present. I did it for my reps, but I was present, right? I've got Denise Lindsay, who was a church member, and she came to one of the seminars that I did at the church, and she came on board, and her and I are the best of friends. Guys, we know each other's families. We travel together leisurely. So I don't try to recruit to get the best salesperson. People say, oh, they will be really good because they're already in sales. Just because they're already in sales doesn't mean they're the right person to recruit. The great thing about Primerica, you don't have to work with the people you don't want to work with. Guys, corporate America makes that decision for you. And so I don't look for the people that are really good. They have to show me more. I look to connect with heart. I want to speak to your heart. And I want you to speak to mine. And when I do that, I can't put up a facade. I can't blow smoke up your tailbone. I ain't interested in doing that anyway. So the thing is that when I look at recruiting, I don't look at it as a mundane, or I don't look at it as something that makes me uncomfortable. I love people. So I love to basically connect. And connecting, I believe when you build relationships, natural conversation comes out. It's very organic. You know what? I'm struggling with this, and I wish I had a better job, or I wish I could have more freedom. I wish I could be home with my children. I wish. And then I can come in and say, wow, that's amazing that you wish those things, because I prayed for people that were wishing for those things. And I believe it's not a coincidence that God brought us together, because I'm excited about sharing my opportunity with you. Because I believe that if you keep wishing that with the belief that you can get it, I'm the person that's going to lead you through this thing. So come on and lock arms with me. Join the spirit of legacy, the team soul, because we're going somewhere. See, guys, I speak with confidence even when we're in the valley. I speak with confidence. You'll never get a woe out of me conversation, right? You have to understand I'm enthusiastic and I'm excited. People say, Diana, you're so passionate. It's in my heart. I don't know how not to be. I'm not for everybody. I know that you ain't for everybody. The interesting thing about it is DeMar Ward, he's an introvert. I know when he first met me, he said, this woman is drinking from a fire hydrant. But the thing is that he said, he caught my truth. Are they catching your truth? Are you in this thing just to make a lot of money? Because here's the thing, when you're not making any, your demeanor is going to show it. I would never go to anybody, that my hot market, my warm market, or anyone, and be a woe is me story. I need 10 people. I just feel like no one's with me. No one's for me. I'm just not winning here. And I just, you guys won't help me. You're never going to get that out of me. Because I know no matter where I'm at, it's not where I'm at, it is where I'm going. I never think I'm too big to learn, guys. I'm on this thing. I'm more of a sponge. Well, JC said, I don't can tell you how many notes I have. I am a sponge. I tap into the LFIC. I tap into the STP. I am a sponge. Every time I'm on these calls, I'm kind of like, oh my God, are you serious? Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. It's a wow factor for me. And that's what people see. They see the eyeball to eyeball. They see the kneecap to kneecap. No, don't jump on a Zoom with me and hide your camera. Let's talk eyeball to eyeball. If this is the only way we can meet, dang on it, we still going to meet that way, right? And you have to understand, you have to attract, retain, and move. I see some people, they recruit people and then you don't see them anymore. And then they recruit somebody and you lose them. You recruit them. You got to understand that if you're losing everybody, there is a self-improvement process that needs to happen within you. It's the best thing since sliced bread. I love, you know, the self-improvement. It wasn't easy to hear. I remember the one of the conversations that Jim had with me, man, I was telling you, I wanted to literally just punch him out. I said, how dare he say that to me? How dare he tell me? But guys, you know what? I had to remove the emotions. And I had to say, this is my coach. He only wants the best for me. I explained everything I need to do, and he's allowing me, guys, right? Because we were new to each other. I networked to him after, you know, Illinois. I wanted some place here at home. And I'm kind of like, well, he doesn't know who he's working with, right? I had to remove the ego, remove the attitude, remove the emotions, and I had to bring this thing back around to where I need to be. Never forget the importance of selling the vision daily. Guys, if my team tell you, guys, I'm telling you, this is where we're going to be. Man, when we come to convention, this is what's going to happen. And I know that most of them probably don't believe me. I know they don't by the lack of activity that some of them do. But I can't stop talking about it because you never know when a person is going to hear it. See, if Jackie had talked to me 2 years prior, she would have not gotten it because I was really just totally focused on corporate America. But in that process of 2 years, I watched my mother lose her life and light. And I was like, man, I just got to be more to me giving back to my family. And I'm shifting my family for my career. I don't want to be unbalanced like that. And ladies, my sisters, my divas, my queens, you know what I'm talking about. When you're a mom and you're a wife and corporate America, you want to be corporate driven and you want to reach that ceiling that seems to be glass for some, but concrete for us. And here comes Primerica that said, oh, if you do this, we'll do this. Goes back to what JC said. If I do this, will you do this? Primerica said, if you do this, we'll do this. And let me tell you, I tested the waters many, many times. You got to talk up your vision. You got to have the energy, right? So the thing that I'll tell you guys is there's five things to build upon. One is fellowship. Really genuinely get to know the people that you are recruiting or trying to recruit. Really genuinely care about what they say. Don't listen just to respond. Listen and see if you can connect to their hearts. If I can't give you what you want, I got a leader. I'm telling you, I got to get you in front of my leader. That is one thing I can see a lot of people miss. They recruit somebody and they hold them real tight and they don't want to put them in the environment. That is a mistake for them and for you. Second, you got to be the loudest voice and the most highest energy, right? That's why if I don't have a partner, if I don't talk to the partner, I'm not trying to recruit because if I don't have you and your partner does, and your partner doesn't agree with it, I'm gonna lose you anyway. Teach the importance of promoting the team value. Talk about it all the time. See, I believe the GM is going to be $1 million earner. And I know he's going to be $1 million earner because he has shown me. I'm a six-figure earner because he showed me. He didn't show me no video and say, let me show you another speaker. He showed me him. And I know he's going to be $1 million earner. And I know I will be too. Selling people that they're super, guys, they're superpower when you lock arms. When you come into a team and you try to build this thing up individually, you may be in business for yourself, but you are never by yourself. It was never intended for you to be. And people are evangelists for an experience, right? See, guys, I had to basically sell influence and belief. People ask me all the time when we're out and about, first they thought I was with a football player. Then they thought it was my college ring. And when I explained to them, they're like, really? Seriously? That's what they award you? Yes, that's why I got it. When my team saw that and saw me talking about it and saw me working towards it, guys, I would never forget the Tuesday night I clicked on the system and seen that I clicked over years back. Right. But then when they went from that picture and they actually showed up on our hands, my team can see if she got there, I could get there. And I could see it because Jim was there. Right. And then Jim talking about me, I never talked about being $1 million earner in Primerica. I really never thought I could. But now I'm sitting there like, why can't I? The Bible says what one man can do, so can another. So you continuously, if your people see you walking in belief, you will soon influence them. But you have to open up your mouth and talk. Because here's the truth. You got to be good at overcoming objections. Because you're going to have one side that's going to tell you, shut your mouth, don't say a dang old thing. Then that other show saying, you better talk. I positioned you to talk. I put you in position. I do believe that every time somebody opens up their mouth and I listen for something key and I hear it, I'm not going to shut the conversation down. Too many people say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Get with your coach and they'll teach you what to say, but run the play that your coach gives you, right? I power up my thinking daily. I don't know if any of you do that because I can tell you once your feet hit, your feet ain't even got to hit the dang old floor. Once one eye pop open, the adversary is saying, you're going to have a horrible day. You think you're going to build a business? You better go on and stay on that job. You want to leave a job? Oh, you ain't leaving no job. Guys, I have a toolbox. My Bible, my word from God told me, he told me Abraham's descendants were going to be going to have territory expansion. They were going to be given favor. I'm a descendant. You're a descendant. right? And I just read things and listen to things that are going to motivate me and tell me I can do this. I got this. Girl, go on and get your army built. Get them crusaders built. Get them boots on the ground built. Oh, you got a few that don't want to play? Get some more. They'll play. If you build it, they'll come. If you build it, they'll come. That's what I keep telling myself. And that's what I keep telling my team. Guys, you got to overcome the objections. There's so many resources out there to help you do it. You heard JC talk about some of them. Keith Otto, Hector Lamar, they're out there on POL. It is a skill that once you basically do it, you get it coming. Guys, and you got to understand as a leader, as you get elevated in Primerica, those objections are going to come from both sides. You're going to get them from your team and from the prospects. What if they say no? Did you die when they said it? Did your world cease to exist when they said it? See, people will get mediocre on you really quick. Even after they're recruited, they will get mediocre. They will come in here with a strong mindset and go weak on you really, really quick. And they'll start letting obstacles come into the play. You have to be that leader that continuously elevates them by saying, my expectations of you are greater than most. Why? Because I see what most don't see. They gotta believe you when you say it, right? What if they talk about me negatively? My mother always said, if they talk about you behind your back, honey, you a celebrity, toot toot, right? Too much time. How much time does it take? Are you willing to give for your goals and dreams? How much time are you willing to give for your family's goals and dreams? You heard Norm tell it at the beginning. Not only did recruiting him help his life, it helped his family's life. And what if it doesn't work for me? Well, how would you know if you don't follow the play and try it? Not just come on board and not do anything. Not just come on board and not get licensed. Not just come on board and not basically set up any training appointments. You know, and I don't think I know enough people. That's why you recruit. Because you really don't. You really don't. But you do know that fast three that JC said. You know those fast three. I knew a fast six, JC. And my recruiter, Jackie Children, came into town and recruited six people for me. I went to PFSU as a district leader. See, I always say have the end in mind when you think. That's just the kind of person I am. So guys, I'll close with this and just tell you, faith over fear, belief over doubt. If you plan on being an outstanding part-timer who just wants consistent income, recruit first. If you want to basically come in and say, hey, I want to leave my job, recruit. If you say, hey, you know what? I just want to impact families and educate them, recruit. Because I'm telling you, they're looking for us. And if we don't do our job and be diligent at it, they're going to get scooped up by those junk things that don't mean anything to anybody for a long time. This is life-defining for me. And as Norm said, it's not for me. It's for those that are looking at me that say, you know what? You're getting ready to change the narrative of our family tree. You made some promises and we believe you. Some of you have made promises and you're failing at it because you're taking bits and pieces of this thing that you don't like. Take all of it in. And trust that giant that's inside of you, just like we believe in you, because we know that you got it inside of you. That's why you were recruited. You're either going to be recruited or you're going to be the recruiter, but you are going to be great if you decide to be the recruiter. I promise you that. Norm, that's all I have.
Hey, thanks, Diane. Man, I can't imagine how good you're going to be if you can ever get some energy.
Just a little bit better, right? A little bit better.
Just get excited about something, Diane. You would be $1 million earner pretty soon. Man.
I'm telling you, I'm going there from your mouth to God's ears. I got it.
Oh man, God is no respecter of person. That's for dang sure. I tell you, man, I took some notes on that one too, boy. Especially some of the things you said really struck home with me. You know, because for those of you who don't know, I'm a 16-year Army veteran, and I got recruited into the Army. I didn't want to recruit anybody into the Army, although I'm super proud of my service and all that. You know, don't get me wrong, but you know, I told my kids growing up, you are forbidden from joining the military. It will not happen because I want a better life for you. And guys, but now here in Primerica, I would love for my kids to be in this business because it's a better life that we can provide to them. But how crazy is it? And I was thinking, back on my 20 years, you know, you said that nobody in Kansas tried to recruit you. I can, in my whole world, no one's ever tried to recruit me either. And I was thinking, no one's ever tried to recruit. My son's a school teacher. My other son's a manager. No one's ever tried to recruit them either. Now, my stepson did get, well, he's the only one that I know of that got, that somebody tried to recruit him up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then he told him, well, my, you know, told him who his dad was. And they're like, oh, okay, never mind. Because that ain't going to work. But man, that was awesome. And you know, it was funny too, because you talked about what are you going to do when you get out of corporate America? You know, we used to talk about that a whole lot when I was in the military. What are you going to do when you get out? That's a common thread in the military. You know who else talks about that a lot? What are you going to do when you get out? Convicts and prisoners. What are you going to do when you get out? Whatever it takes to not get back in. See, and that's the problem. If people were to get out of corporate America and then do whatever it takes to not get back in, they would be having the kind of success that you're having. So proud of you, man. I can't wait to keep watching you. So, guys, let's wrap this thing up. It's my turn. I'm excited because we're going to do some role playing here. You heard JC a while ago. He volunteered. So I'm going to take you through how I do an interview. And let me preface this just a little bit by saying this. Everybody in Primerica has their own style. You know, I'm going to show you exactly what I do. If there's something about it that you like, hey, great. If you don't like any of it, great. Okay. It works for me. And I'll tell you, it works for me. And I have to give Omar Oropesa a little bit of credit. Back in the day, I mean, 2010, when I was the top personal recruiter in the company, we had almost 600 recruits that year in my base shop. And I got to tell you, it was kind of a circus. It's hard to, you know, we were averaging between 50 and 65 recruits in my base shop that year. And we were doing op meetings all the time, 2 and 3 a week, Saturday training. And then thank God we were at a Dallas Fast Start school. And Omar, at that time, he was probably about 600,000, maybe 700,000. Now he's way over 1 million, knocking on the door of 2. From stage, he said, I have never done an op meeting, and I think people who do op meetings are stupid. My wife looked at me and said, I told you so. And he goes, then we've never done Saturday training. I think people who do Saturday training are stupid. And she looked at me again and said, I told you so. And from that day on, we've never done an op meeting and we've never done Saturday training. Now, a lot of RVPs, their brains are probably exploding right now when I hear that, when I say that, because that's what they do. Well, that's what I was taught and that's what I grew up with. But let me tell you why he said that. It's really come to fruition here in the Killeen, Texas area, where we're a very large military market. You know, the military folks, they work their tails off, folks, from sun up till sundown, Monday through Friday. You think Sunday morning they want to get up on their one day off and come to training? Not a chance. You think their spouse wants them to come to training? Not a chance. Okay. And the reason that Omar said he doesn't do op meetings, and we completely agreed with it, is because every multi-level marketing company known to man does op meetings. And he made a decision that I completely agreed with. And we have stuck to it since 2010. If a multi-level marketing company does it, we are not going to do it, whatever it is. If they do it, we're not, because we're a professional financial business. We don't sell hope and soap on a rope, okay? We don't sell lotions and potions, folks. We sell changing lives. You know, I got a death claim I got to deliver this week. We've got tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars of assets. We're changing lives, folks. You know, we're not selling suds and crap like that, you know, vitamins and stuff. Not that that stuff's not good for you, but I can go to Walmart and get a vitamin. You know, I don't care if it's auto shipped or not, you know. So if an MLM company does it, we ain't doing it. So we haven't done an op meeting since 2006. My income has exploded. Our QBI has exploded. Our licensing has exploded. Our assets, everything in my business has exploded when we stopped doing op meetings and stopped doing Saturday training. Go figure. I don't know. It's just the way it is. Now, so what do we do instead? Interviews, one-on-one, whether it's in person or on Zoom, one-on-one, very corporate-like, okay, very professional. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to go and meet people because Diane covered that. Just talk to people, folks. Talk. If your mouth is open, your business is open, okay? If your mouth is closed, your business is closed. Talk to people. Whether you use social media, like we're big on social media, like JC talked about, Social media is fantastic. It is a great tool. And finally, the company is embracing that, you know? So however you get the person, I'll leave that to you and how you guys do it. But I think what's really key for me is what do I do with them once they come in the front door? And yes, I said front door, okay? 100% of interviews happen at the office or on Zoom in today's world, okay? Now, I'm not saying if you happen to do a client appointment in their home, or if you do a client appointment at a Starbucks or somewhere, absolutely talk to them about recruiting. But I'm talking about an interview. You got them off of social media, a job fair, a newspaper ad, whatever. Okay, they're coming in for an interview. So we bring them in. We have a screening application that's already on Sales Team Pro somewhere, I think. And I bring them into the office, sit them down. And JC, if you're ready, I'm going to start this and unmute yourself. And guys, I'm going to do this exactly the same way I do it every single time, whether it's in person, whether it's on Zoom. Okay, so on your mark, get set, go. So hey, JC. So why don't you just tell me a little bit about yourself, man? Like where you're from, where you grew up, kids, family, husband, wife, dogs, hamster.
Yeah. No, I have my wife Stephanie and I live in Altoona. Here we've lived here 13 years. We have four girls: Brooklyn, Avery, Tenley, and Cameron. And we just love the area we live in. I'm formerly, I actually work down here at the local factory down here, the plant here in the co-op, if you will, in Altoona. So that's what we've been doing. I've been doing that for 13 years.
Okay, fantastic. So JC, are you looking for a part-time or a full-time position right now?
You know, part-time is always good because I have a lot of kids. I'm always looking to make extra money. But, you know, obviously if there's a better position, I've always opened up other opportunities full-time.
But you are working full-time now, right?
Yep. I work, you know, every day from 6 to 3.
Okay, fantastic. Because that's one of the things I always recommend people do if they have a full-time job is I think it's better for them to get started with us part-time. That way they can go to school, get licensed, kind of figure this thing out. And then what I'll tell you is as you start making more money here part-time than you are on that full-time job, it makes it super easy to drop a 2 weeks notice. Okay, so we're going to treat you as a definitely just a potential part-timer. Okay.
Okay.
So now let me tell you how I do things, JC. I am a very informal, casual guy. I am not going to ask you a whole bunch of silly questions and get real personal with you. I just don't like doing that. Basically, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes describing to you what I'm looking for, what you'd be doing if we decide to work together. And when I'm done with that, if what I have described to you is something that you feel like you could sink your teeth into, enjoy, and have some fun with going forward as a career, we can continue the conversation. And if it's not, that's okay too. Fair enough?
Fair enough, yeah.
All right, so the position that I'm looking to fill right now, JC, is what we call a district leader. Most companies would call it a district manager, but we believe in leadership over management. I think you would agree with that. So sure. As a district leader, about 90% of your activities would be to help us recruit, train, and develop new people so that we can open and staff additional locations all across the United States, all 50 states, Guam, Puerto Rico, and Canada, okay? Right now, we've got over 6,000 locations nationwide on our way to 15,000. So we're looking for a couple of good folks that can help us do that. Now, what you'd be training these folks in, JC, is everything financial. Okay. And I know you don't have a lot of experience in that. So we'll train you first. So don't worry about it. Now, the biggest piece of our pie, the thing that we are most well known for is what's called wealth creation. JC, for over 44 years, we've been helping people become stone cold wealthy. And we do that by not only helping them make more money, but also by helping them establish all of your various types of investment accounts, mutual funds, IRAs, 401ks, we do all of that. We represent over a dozen of the top investment firms in America, like Fidelity, Oppenheimer, Franklin Templeton, Putnam, Invesco, TD Ameritrade, all the big guys. So working with us, JC, one of the many professional licenses that you would get would be an investment broker's license. and you would be training the agents on how to help Johnny the customer become wealthy. Okay. And of course we do it for ourselves too, right?
Yeah, sure. Hope so.
The second biggest piece of our pie is insurance. We have the absolute best price on car insurance, life, homeowners, renters, commercial. We do all that. We represent over 30 of the top insurance companies in America, like Hartford, Travelers, MetLife, Nationwide, Progressive, Esurance, Liberty, all the big guys. So you would also have an insurance broker's license working with us, and you would be training the advisors on how to help Johnny the customer save a ton of money. Okay, so those are our two main areas. Now, JC, we also help people with mortgages, whether they're, you know, buying a house, refinancing. Our mortgage company is called Quicken Loans. And then we also help people with legal services like wills, powers of attorney, all that kind of stuff. So you'd be training guys in that area as well, which of course means, like I said a moment ago, we'll train you first. So what we do is we put you through school. And by the way, we pay for that. We pay for your school, teacher, classroom, textbooks, the whole nine yards. We also pay for your licenses. So it's right at $2,000 that we invest in anybody that we bring on board. Okay. Now, your only requirement, JC, is to be able to pass a background check. I mean, obviously we're in finance, so we do a very thorough local, state, and federal background check on everyone. Now, those three together would run you a one-time fee of $99. Now, we don't pay for that just in case you don't pass, okay? But as long as you pass, then like I said, we're going to drop almost $2,000 on your schooling, your textbooks, and all your licenses, okay? Full benefits, health, medical, dental, vision, the whole nine yards, 401k, you name it, we got it, okay? So that's kind of the basics. What are your thoughts so far, or what are your, you know, hit me with a million questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just really like, I mean, it's how hard's the test? I mean, I'm open to all that, but it's kind of, you know, a little bit nervous learning all that. Is it easy to learn?
Well, it is really good. The test is only 100 questions, and it's the easiest kind of test, multiple choice. Oh, perfect. And it's 100 questions, and out of 100 questions, you only need a 70 to pass. So okay, we good. Actually have an online training simulator program, and it's kind of like a red light, green light sort of thing. When you practice and you get a green light, then we actually guarantee you to pass the test. And if for any reason you didn't pass it, we will pay for you to take it again. So you will get licensed working with us. Definitely.
Right on.
Okay. What else?
What's the training like? Is it classroom? Is it in the field? I mean, what do you guys kind of do as far as that goes?
The initial training for your license is 2 days. It's usually a Saturday, Sunday. And it can be done in a classroom, or you can do it over Zoom, but still with a real live instructor, whichever you prefer. And then once you go through the class and pass your exam, then it's all on the job training, again, in person or over Zoom.
Awesome. So how do you guys get your clients then?
That's a really good question. We work a lot of referrals. We also have a very robust digital marketing program called Sales Team Pro. So between those two and social media and a bunch of other ways, we never have to do a cold call. We're never knocking on doors. None of that sleazy sales stuff.
Awesome. Sounds good to me. What's the next step?
Well, let me ask you one more question.
Okay.
Tell me why I should bring you on board, JC. Why should I let this company spend almost $2,000 on your licensing, your schooling, your training, and us spend our time and effort helping you? Why should I do that?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you asking that question. I mean, I've been a stable employee for my company, a manager for my company here the last 5 years, but with the same company for 13 years. And, you know, I'm a very hard worker. I mean, I played college sports and grew up in a community where I grew up on working on a farm and stuff like that. I just feel like that as far as ethic, there's work ethic, there's nobody that can outperform me. And I have a very good, reputation in my community here. And I just feel like I'd add a ton of value that way to you guys. So,
okay. So let me ask you, do you feel like you're a quick learner?
If it's something I want to learn, yeah.
And do you really like helping other people in a very meaningful way, JC?
Yeah. It's always something that's really been near and dear to me is helping people and making an impact for sure.
Well, that's the important part for me. And I tell you, after visiting with you this afternoon, I get a really good feeling about you, and I've enjoyed our time together. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the position. You know, I'm going to, you know, shake hands. I'm going to jump on my computer real quick, and we'll get your application submitted, get your background check done, and we'll get you rolling.
Awesome, man. I'm excited.
Now, here's the thing, guys. As soon as JC starts telling me, and let me tell you, that is like the secret question right there, okay, is why should I bring you on board? Why should I let this company spend almost $2,000 on your schooling, your books, your licenses, and then me spend my time and effort teaching you and training you? Yeah, I understand that, okay? See, the thing that I see way too many times is, look, first of all, I see so many people doing like a client presentation as an interview. Okay, this is an interview. They have one job, and that is to convince you why you should bring them on board. That's their only job at this interview, okay? They are in the convincing mode. I have to convince this guy that I'm worthy of him giving me some time and giving me a chance here, right? Okay? So as soon as I ask that question and he starts telling me why I should give him that, I mean, it's like, oh, okay, I got him, right? Because he's telling me why I need to bring him on board, okay? Now, just for training purposes, JC, I'm going to ask you the same question. And I want you to do the old, well, I need to think about it, or I got to talk to my wife or whatever, whatever, right? So if I say to you again, all right, so listen, JC, why should I bring you on board? Why should I let this company spend almost $2,000 on your schooling, your training, all your licenses, and then us spend our time and effort teaching you and helping you? Why should I do that?
Well, you know, Norman, at this point, I'm really not sure if this is something I want to do. I'd probably have to talk to my wife a little bit and learn, do more research about the company before I even, committed myself to even wanting this position.
Well, there's actually nothing to commit to yet, JC, because I haven't offered you a position yet. And In fact, I've got six other people that I've got to interview this week before I make a decision. Today is Sunday. What I'm going to do is, I promise you this, by Friday, I will have made a decision. Which way we're going to go. So by Friday, I promise you, I will let you know whether we're going to move forward with you or whether we're going to go in a different direction. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. So, hey, thanks for coming in. It's been a pleasure. And like I said, I'll get in contact with you by Friday and let you know our decision.
Appreciate it.
See, folks, a person should never, ever leave the office with you not being in control. They can't do that. If I say, okay, how'd it go? Oh, they're thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, crap. What do you mean they're thinking about it? You know, think about this, guys. If you were to go and you were going to the store director of a Home Depot and you were applying for a manager position at Home Depot and the Home Depot guy, first of all, is he going to do a big old presentation about Home Depot? Heck no. He's going to sit there and go, okay, why should I bring you on board Home Depot? And you're sitting there trying to tell him why you need to come work and be a manager at Home Depot. You're selling that guy on that, right? That's how people have to be here in Primerica, folks. And then the other thing is, he says, okay, I think you might be a good fit. And you go, well, I got to think about it. That conversation's over. There's nothing to think about. Next, I got 14 people lined up out the door. Okay. That's the attitude that you have to have, folks. Look, people don't join Primerica. You allow them to come work here. They join a gym. They join the Boy Scouts. They join an MLM company. They don't join Primerica. They get brought on board Primerica. And then you better have a good onboarding system, like JC was talking about, like most RVPs have, how to integrate that person into your philosophy, into your environment, and get them moving in a positive direction. Okay. Remember, you have the goodies. We have the goodies. There is no evidence, as Bill Arender says all the time, that people are going to ever be financially independent without us. There's no evidence of that. But there are tens of thousands of people that are evident of financial independence because they were allowed to come into Primerica. They were allowed to work here by the person that gave them that chance. Folks, you got to be bold. You got to look them in the eye and say, I know I can help you. Okay. Oh, I get excited about recruiting, man. And I'm telling you, that's what changes people's lives. So hopefully that was helpful. I know that while I was talking, I seen a bunch of questions pop up in the chat. So I'm going to turn it over to Kristen and see what we can do for questions and answers. We still got quite a few minutes here left. Plenty of time, I think. Miss Kristen.
Awesome. That was really, really cool, Norm. Thank you so much for doing that. Okay, so a few questions. Cardia in the chat is asking, how do you respond to the question, do I have to recruit my friends and family? And also she asks, how do you introduce Primerica?
Is she asking me that for me?
Okay.
Well, I'll just tell you what I do. They can jump in. So I would say, no, you do not have to recruit your friends and family. In fact, I only want you to think about recruiting the people that you love and care about. That's it. And just look at them, because they're going to like, oh, I mean, if you love your family and you care about them, give them a chance. If you don't recruit them. But there is no requirement whatsoever for you to recruit your friends or family, to do business with your friends or family. But if you care about them, why wouldn't you at least talk to them about it, right?
Yeah, I usually say something along the lines of, you know, typically I ask them the question is, what would be your main reason for not wanting to recruit your friends and family or talk to your friends and family about this opportunity? And they'll usually say a bunch of stuff. You know, I'm just not that person. I really want to push stuff on my family and friends and become that person. I said, look, feel, felt, found, right? I know exactly how you feel. I felt the same way. Here's what I found out though. Typically, most people that don't want to share the information with people they know and care about is really because they don't want to share or sell a bunch of stuff that people don't want or need. Is that kind of how you feel? And they're gonna be like, absolutely. I don't want to be that person that is the salesperson. I said, look, this is not what this is. As you can see through what I share with you and how we help people, could you explain to me or share with me any reason why you wouldn't want to help people, especially the ones that you care about, with this information as far as getting out of debt sooner, retiring, and becoming financially independent? I mean, what would be the main reason for not wanting to share that with people? And then I usually share a story about how my mom and my dad and my in-laws, my father-in-law, you know, they got out of debt 11 years sooner. They're fully retired because of me. So I just get that back to them and help them understand what they're really asking. Because I get where they're coming from. And I think that's important to feel, felt, found. I mean, I can understand it, because if I'm selling, you know, crap that people don't want, why would I go push it on people I care about? So.
And I have to, you know, agree with JC, because I think a lot of times we tend to answer the question and that's really not the concern. And so by asking, you know, what is your biggest concern? And I think we need to get down to the brass roots. If we're going to build a relationship, we got to be transparent to each other. You really think that I'm probably going to go do something that's going to probably compromise a relationship between your family. Now, you're okay with me compromising a relationship with a complete stranger. So your immediate thought is, I got to go out there and find some people, because I'm not going to put Norm or JC in front of somebody that I love and trust. And then I have to look at these people for the rest of my life knowing I did that to them. So I always like to remove what I need to find out exactly what I'm answering. So what is your concern? You know, and then I follow it up with a story. I mean, for me, it's generational wealth, not only for myself, but for my family, because in my family dynamics, we all going to eat at the table. And so how else am I going to get everybody to the table if I don't introduce the ones who love me the most?
I always share that I literally could not wait to share those people with people I love. I thought immediately with my mom, my dad, that's how I tell them that story, you know? And I think that a lot of times if we have an issue with people bringing that up, how we respond back and how we act is how they're going to react as well. The same way with how do you introduce Primerica? I'm like, you know, if you have a challenge saying Primerica's name because of the market you're in or some issues you've had or somebody else has had, guys, I would tell you that you need to hang around people that have had success with Primerica more, because guys, Primerica is an amazing company. And if you look at who we are, I'm excited to share it. They go, who's the company? Primerica? Have you heard of us? I mean, oh my gosh, you know who we are. I don't know if there's any specific way, Norm, that I introduced the company other than we're part of the greatest company in finance and in American business today. So. Go ahead, Kristen.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. There's another question here for Norm. With your interview process, do you transition from interview to potential client also?
No, actually, I don't. Now, if I recruit that person, bring them on board, then naturally that client process is going to happen. But if I don't recruit them, or I send them away because they got to think about it, but you know, but I'll call them back by Friday. No, it quite frankly, and again, this is just me. If this is, you know, if they don't want to be part of the company, then they don't need to be part of the company in any way, shape, or form at that point for me. So I don't like, you know, oh, you're not interested. Oh, well, you want some life insurance? Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I think that makes you look like, yeah, like you're now you're being pushy too in that aspect. And I'm with Norm too. I'm like, hey, here's a position. I'm actually here. You're interviewing you to see if you're somebody I want to work with. You know, when you come across as you're trying to pull them in and you're trying to you and if they don't join you in business, yeah, the last thing I want to do is try to sell them. But you know, there are some people that I've built some good rapport and I've had maybe one or two, maybe three interviews that they, you know, at the end of the day going, look, I love the company. I love what you guys do. I just don't see it a fit for me. I have had that happen. And I say, look, I get that. And I totally appreciate you. You know, the ones with integrity that actually tell you they're not interested. I say, look at that. I totally appreciate that. I say, look, I think that you agree with what we do for people or clients, right? If I were able to show you some certain different ways that I can help you and your family improve their current financial situation, would you at least give me that opportunity? But see, that's because I built rapport with them and I had a good relationship with them. They weren't some jack wagon that just, you know, you'll have some of those. That's a Brian Maimon term, jack wagon. But it has to be a specific case, but I'm not going to push a product on them. And you know, if they're not interested in the opportunity.
And I think it goes,
frankly, a lot of times they'll ask you, hey, can I do this for myself? Can I do my own investment accounts and stuff like that? And you know, absolutely. You know, I always tell people that the company will let you do everything except, you know, sell yourself the life insurance, but you can do everything else on your own. So they get pretty excited about that as well, if they're already a client of a different company.
And I have to say, like what JC was saying, is that when you do that presentation, you have to understand throughout that entire presentation, what even him and Norm are doing is they're building relationships with you in that moment. It does not take years and years and years to build a relationship and to build a rapport. So the thing is, I don't have to offer you anything. Once I asked you what stood out to you, the opportunity didn't, but the GPS did. Great, I'm doing the GPS. And I think that, you know, when you turn it to where you say, well, okay, well, you're not going to be, you don't want to be on board. Well, hey, you know what? Everybody needs life insurance. Yeah, everybody needs life insurance. They don't need it from you. And that's what they're thinking. They don't need it right now. They don't want to pay. It's a bill to them, not a necessity. Lights coming on in a room is necessity. Life insurance for a lot of people is not. So the thing is that during, you have to build a rapport. And the only way I'm telling you that I have found success in rapport building is I'm bold in what I say. I will never disrespect you, but I'm not going to be disrespected either. And I think that's what Norm was saying. You're not going to disrespect the energy that I'm giving you and the information that I'm giving you, because I know firsthand you needed this information yesterday. Now the opportunity is not for you. You're going to leave my presence, and you're going to leave my presence either as a client, a referral, and a strong referral at that, because your words that you're going to leave with them and leave the person with is that she didn't push me. She taught me. And I learned a nugget or two. I just decided that it wasn't for me. But guess what, Mom? I think you should talk to her. And sure. And I think you got to remember rapport.
Wendy said it best real quick. I just saw her comment. Like, I've had a lot of good clients too, Wendy, that came through interviews that didn't join me in business. As well. So it's not like we're turning them away, but I think there's some that are going, yeah, I'm definitely not interested. And they're not interested in anything, but there are those that you interview that they're interested in the opportunity. They decide not to go with the opportunity that they are open. I like that. So just so you know, that's how I've had a lot of clients do like that as well.
That's right.
Right. And that's what Selsing Pro's for. Just throw
absolutely. Grow that database, put them in the database and follow up.
Absolutely. Here's a question from Dolores in the chat, I guess for Norm. For those who say they have to think about it, do you ever call them back on Friday?
Every single time. And every single time, if I got a really good feeling about them, then when I call them back on Friday, I say, hey, JC, this is Norm. We met on Monday. Hey, I promised you I'd give you a call back on Friday. Hey, just wanted to say congratulations. We chose you. Are you able to come in this afternoon to finish up your application process, or do you want to do it on, you know, Monday? Or if when they left, if I didn't get that really good feeling, then I'm going to call them back and say, hey, JC, I promised you I'd call you on Friday. Just wanted to give you the courtesy to let you know we went in a different direction, but I wish you all the very best in whatever you decide to do.
And that's important too. I think that sounds like if you were looking at it, like, well, what do you mean? Why would you say that? Because we're here to recruit people. No, not the wrong people, right? And so when Norm does that, it's somebody that probably showed up the interview late. It's probably somebody that didn't dress up. They probably weren't somebody like, you know, and they just weren't somebody that he wanted in his business. And I think that's important to understand when you're recruiting people. You need to have pride in who you want to work with. Omar Arpaez has said it all the time. If you can't spend time with them on the weekends and you would not let these people watch your kids, why would you recruit them into the business? And I'm telling you, 17 years in, that I've recruited people that I didn't want to spend any time with. And there's people that if you want to recruit people that you want to build a long-term relationship with. But if you have ones that aren't fitting the bill, it's nice to professionally let them know, hey, we went a different direction. Thank you for your time. You don't squash the reputation of the company yourself. And if they do become that person, they go, I like that Norm guy. I'm going to give them a call. Maybe I'm the person now. It keeps them wanting maybe to improve themselves.
Yeah. And you know, that's a note that I wrote down from what Diana was talking about earlier compared to when I was in the military. And she said, you get to work with people you want to work with. You know, and I wrote that down because I can't tell you how many people that I had to work side by side in the military that I would not want my kids around whatsoever, but I had to be around them but not here. It's such a blessing to be able to look, my base shop is family. They're not my agents. They're my family.
Yeah. Hey, Hector the Mark says one of the biggest problems people have when it comes to recruiting is they're spending their time with a lot of the wrong people, you know? So that's one of the things, many million things he's probably said, but anyways.
I am in agreement with that. And I have to tell you that, you know, you will, if you're not careful, you will actually recruit a cancer. And you will put a cancer within your shop, and they will come through and they will undo. I mean, if it's almost like if you give a coaching instruction and they get out in the parking lot and they got a huddle around them, telling them every reason not to follow your coaching. You saw the signs in the beginning, but you were so desperate for the IBA, you moved forward. You better understand that you're building an empire that's meant to be passed down to your descendants. You want to be proud of that. You want to be sure that you got the right people in place.
Absolutely.
What's next?
Okay. There's a couple of questions asking, how do you tell them that it's not an hourly position, but that it's commission?
You know, you would be surprised how many people never ask. They never even bring it up. Like I'm telling you, 90 plus percent or more. If they do say, you know, well, how do you get paid? Okay. Now I always have a lot of fun with this too. So, JC, ask me how do you get paid?
So like, how do you guys get paid? Is it like per hour or what do you guys do?
Oh no, man. We use direct deposit. That's how we get paid. And they smile like crazy. Right. But look, man, I know that's funny. Right. But that's the real blessing in our company, JC, is that we get paid not just one or two ways. Like most careers, man, we get paid four different distinct ways. Now, the first way that we get paid is the exact same way that a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor, a psychiatrist, I notice you're wearing glasses, an optometrist, JC, every one of us upper level, highest paid professionals, watch the tonality, we all get paid the same way. Now, you may or may not be familiar with that, but it's called fee for service. Okay. Now you wear glasses, I wear contacts. So we've both been to the eye doctor, right?
Sure.
So we go to the eye doctor, the optometrist for a normal routine eye exam. When we're done, we walk around to the front counter and we write that guy a check or we use a debit card or something. And we pay that eye doctor a fee for the service that we just received of having our eyes checked, right?
Right.
So that's the first way we get paid. The second way we get paid is bonuses. Our company has a very robust bonus system. The third way we get paid, which is my personal favorite, is what we call MPI, stands for massive passive income. So JC, are you familiar with the term passive income?
I've heard of it a little bit.
Well, it's really simple. By definition, it's money that you get paid for not working. For example, if I said, hey, last year, how many millions of dollars did Michael Jackson make? And he's been dead 10 or 12 years.
Many.
Yeah. So that's passive income. And we have that in a massive way. The fourth way that we get paid, which is my second favorite, is called profit sharing. See, as I said at the very beginning, you're going to be helping us train new agents, right? And so as every one of those agents that you train for the rest of your life, as they're out there helping families, the company's going to profit share with you off of their business for life. Mm-hmm. So when you add up all four of those ways, JC, that's why we have the bragging rights. And you can Google this if you want to, but we are the highest paying company in the history of the world. We have more people in our company who make a six-figure income over $100,000 a year than any other company in the history of the world. That's how I do that. Number two,
I add stock options to that as well. As you run an office for us, the company gives you equity in the stock as well. I do add that in there as well. But that was really good, Norm. Great job. And I think you explained that, man, there's so many benefits to what we do. And I think if you're confused on how to answer that question, you really need to research the way we get paid more in depth so that you can speak on that very, very confidently, because people would be stupid not to want to take advantage of that. So
exactly. Well, I mean, quite frankly, guys, if at the end of the day, that's kind of my goal, is to make you feel really stupid if you don't get it, you know. Yeah. You got to get it.
Yeah.
What's next? Okay. So can you guys give an example of how to set up the appointment? I guess for the interview is what they're talking about, Norm.
Okay. So what I would do is it just depends on where you get them. Like I just meet somebody. We use that same Facebook thing that JC showed. And I use LinkedIn quite a bit. You know, like for me, I use LinkedIn 1,000 times more than Facebook. And I would just put a little thing out there. It says, you know, hey, I noticed that you're a veteran as well. I'm looking to expand my business, looking for some people that have discipline like veterans. Love to sit down over a virtual lunch with you. What's a good time to read, you know, and just reach out to them. You can just reach out to people like crazy. You do that 10 or 15 times a day, whether it's on Facebook or LinkedIn, I mean, you're going to get some traction on there. And if they give you their phone number and say, hey, Kristen, this is Norm. We've been chatting on LinkedIn. You know, I'd love to spend a couple of minutes with you, kind of telling you what we're looking for. If there's any kind of an interest, we can continue the conversation. If not, hey, no harm, no foul, right?
Yep.
So let them know you're only going to spend a couple of minutes, because what I just did, guys, and I've got this on video, it takes like four to seven minutes. You know, if I'm telling you, my guys will tell you, from the time a person walks into my office, they have a code number 15 minutes later. We're not still talking about crap. They got a code number.
Us too. Here's the way I look at it. I'll say this from Norm, what you just said. If somebody's willing to meet with you, and I've learned this in Primerica, if they're willing to sit down with you across the kitchen table or on Zoom or whatever it is you're doing, if they're willing to do an interview or look at the client from a client side, they're open to something. It's whether or not you're connecting the information that we have, the benefits we have, what they're looking for. People want more of what they want, to get more of what they want. And Primerica has everything they want from a client side and a product side. Keith Otto said it best. He said, look, if people fully took the time to fully understand our products and services, everybody would become a client. If everybody took the time to fully understand our opportunity, like Norm just explained earlier, right? Everybody would come to work with us. So our job is to master how to share that information, to connect what people want, not what you want, what they want with this opportunity or this services we offer. Once you master that, you have no problem asking for an IBA in 15 minutes. You have no problem closing a life app when they're sitting in front of you, and you have no problem somebody giving you $500,000 check to put in your investment account. It's that simple. And that just comes from building your belief by plugging into stuff like this, learning from Roy every Tuesday, learning from all these other things. So anyways, I just want to say that.
And you know,
the process
has to be normal. If you do something that's abnormal, like, hey, come to a meeting, that's like nothing but bells and whistles going off in their head. Oh, it's one of those things. I got to come to a meeting. No. And I'll answer a question real quick. Somebody said on chat, if Norm doesn't do Saturday training, when we do training every Tuesday, and I do lunch training on Monday and Wednesdays for my full timers that are available. And I do training for everybody every Tuesday night at 6:30 Central Time. And I got people across 13 different states. So we got multiple cameras set up in our office, and they zoom in. So there's a lot of training going on. It just ain't on Saturday.
Well, and Omar does training too. He just doesn't do an op meeting. So what's up, Diana?
And I think the key is that you have to know what you want when you're sitting down with people. I've seen reps that basically sit down and you are all over the place. You're all over the place. You have to, guys, you should be practicing even when you don't have anybody in front of you. You should already know what you're going to say when you get there. I already know that I'm aiming for the recruit. There is no doubt at all. Even if I get a referral, if they're referring me for investments, I'm going to talk about what I got referred for, but I'm going to get permission to bring about what I want the end result to also be. And I can't be wishy-washy. You got to be bold enough to know what you want. And that's what you got to get. You got to master that skill set.
We're at 8:30. What's left?
Here. Let me ask one more. This is for, I guess, once somebody is recruited, what do you say for someone who says, I do not have people I can tell about this? How do they build a database from zero? So just encouraging people to get their list, I guess.
First of all, that's not true. Okay.
Right.
Everybody has a list. Okay. My first question, if that was a person asked me that, well, I don't have anybody, like, okay, let me see your cell phone. How many contacts are in there? Get on the Facebook. How many friends do you have on Facebook? Because what they're thinking is, I don't, and folks, we're good at that here in Killeen, because so many people are military or, you know, like, oh, I just got here to Fort Hood, but I'm from somewhere else. And they like, well, I don't know anybody. Yes, you do. I didn't say they had to be local. You know, a lot of people think they have to be local. No,
right.
With Zoom, we can do anything across the world. Okay.
Right.
So let me see how many contacts you have in your phone. Let me see how many friends you have on Facebook. Don't tell me you don't have anybody.
Right.
Yeah. It that comes up in the conversation before you recruit them anyway. You should be pre-qualifying these people. Do they have a marker? Are they married kids, own a home, do they have kids? And so, yeah, I was single. I got recruited, but that I had a market of people that were behind me. So Norm's right. It's a lie. It's just a matter of digging and letting them understand that you've been on this earth at least 18 years. You don't know 10 people that fit the bill of married kids, own a home. I think just working through their list and going through who do you know that's married? Because immediately our mind goes to, we don't know anybody. So, okay, let's start with who do you know that's married? Oh, I know a lot of those. Oh, okay. So I talked to more about your job is not to figure out who's interested. Your job is to tell me who qualifies. So let's talk about who you know that qualifies, not who do you know that'd be interested. That's usually the disconnect there. That's usually the confusion.
That part.
Right.
Right.
Good okay. job, guys.
Awesome. Yeah. Everybody did a great job. Norm, the last question that's left is how to register for your training. I don't know if you want to share that or not, but thank you to everybody that was on tonight, JC, Diana, and Norm. And Norm, go ahead and close this out.
All right. So I'm putting it in the chat right now. Go to Zoom. That's my cell phone number. Tuesday nights at 6:30 if you want to jump on. The meeting is my cell phone number and the password is 12345. I'm not going to put that in the chat because you got to remember that 12345. So anybody wants to jump on, you're welcome to. Just mute yourself. No worries. Be a fly on the wall. And JC, thank you tonight. Diana, thank you. I had a blast. I got a lot of good notes. It was so much fun. Kristen, you're an awesome host. Can't wait to meet you in person in Nashville. Guys, if y'all haven't signed up for the incredible, man, I'm telling you, Roy has put together a lineup for the Sales Team Pro training in October the 14th or the 17th in Nashville that makes Primerica look like a kiddie meeting, man. I'm telling you, it is going to be crazy awesome. And we're registered. We're going. We're going to be there. I hope to see all of y'all there. Can't wait to meet you. And Kristen, if my wife says anything about teaching us to dance, the answer is no, no. Okay, just y'all have a great night. Thank you very much.
You're going to be dancing.